What's going on, Miles?
What up, Brian? Happy Friday. Back to reality. Back to reality, man.
This is the best kind of reality. It's the distanced kind. It's the kind that I don't have to leave my apartment for. This is the best kind of reality. It took me 2 days already back to my old ways.
Yeah, that's all right. Until the next time, we'll get you. We'll drag you out again. I mean, for your annual walk down Boston Way.
I mean, listen, like the fact that they've already posted the dates for PAX East 2025 and it's in May, so we got a couple extra months. It's closer to summer. It's definitely warmer. I'm already gearing up for it, man. It's only 14 months away.
There we go. Plenty of time to prepare.
That's right. Matt Vegan in the chat says picked up Light Brigade after Wednesday's show. He spelled Wednesday wrong. And it's the perfect game to have a podcast going on in the background, really enjoying the variety of levels too. I agree with you. I hate the sewer levels. I think sewer levels look like trash. They look like Quest 1 graphics. I don't know what it is. Everything else looks great. Love the stylized visuals. Hate the sewer levels. But great game, though. Agree. All right, man. You ready to start the show? You ready to do this thing?
Yeah, man. Let's do it.
Awesome. What is OBS hates my co-host. Hold on a second. You're just a big blue square. It'll fix it in just a second. They can hear you, Miles. They just can't see you yet.
Hello, I'm a blue square. I'm a blue square. I'm a blue square. Help me. Help me.
There we go. This is PSVR Gamescast Live. We film live every single Monday, Wednesday, and Two Wives Friday right here on YouTube. We do it live 6 p.m. Eastern for your viewing pleasure. But we also care about your oral pleasure. That's why our good friend Rypop uploads this to podcast services of your choice. My name is Brian Paul, and in case you forget, I'm the guy with all the wristbands on because I forgot to take them all off. It's going to wear off in the shower, I'm assuming. And over here, to my left, your right. Wait, that can't be right. It's Miles Dyer from youtube.com/Miles. Were you trying to high five me?
Yeah, am I doing it the right way? I don't know.
Let's go.
Way too late.
Hello, Brian. Shit. It's important, man. Choreography is so, so important. Hello, Brian. Hello, GameCats. It is bizarre being back, even though it was even more bizarre last week, being on the same table. Man, PAX East was so, so good. Absolutely buzzing. And it was good. It was a good emotional reset for me after I've had a pretty tough start to the year. It was amazing meeting you, Wes, AJ, devs, the GameCat community. Incredible. And then to wake up this morning to see the Gamescast that we did last Friday, not live, well, live, but not usual live, to see that online and then all the wonderful comments of people that didn't manage to get there, but clearly it meant a lot to them. I mean, that was why it was put together, because we owe a lot to this community, and it was just great to see it received in such a positive way. So I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone out there. But not only did I fly back and then got over the jet lag pretty quickly, but I've also moved back into my home. So,
oh my God, I didn't even realize we were talking as we were getting set up, but we were so rushed that I didn't even realize you're back to normal. It must feel so good to be back home and just be able to chill.
Absolutely, man. There was a lot of unpacking, a lot of dust around the house from all the refurbishments. My dad, who was the project manager of this kitchen thing, absolute hero. Him and my mum have gone on holiday now to Japan. A well-deserved break. I think they're glad to see the back of this place. So now with a new kitchen, I've been kind of intimidated by it because it's now not just a question of just use the oven. It's like, get the instruction manual out, see how this works. But it also means, because I've knocked through the wall into my living room, it's just given a bit more space. So when I do my VR setup, I haven't got like the tripod pressed up against the wall. I've got a bit more space. So I did my first Let's Play in 48 days today. So Overdog, we'll be talking about that a bit later.
48 days. How does it feel like just get like feel like you're like riding a bike?
Maybe. I mean, I've looked at the replay. My audio volume level is down because I was using that mic, the game show mic, for this show. So I'd obviously need to change it back. And then there were a load of presets that had changed, kind of like this with the blue screen on me. I'm sure it might not be related, but even if you've done it like 2 weeks apart, there's just certain things you don't check on. And when I started, the in-ear robot voice chat was just sounding Spanish. And it was just saying everyone's usernames in a Spanish voice and they're not saying what they said. So if you want to see 4 minutes of me trying to stop a Spanish voice in my head, just watch the start of my Let's Play. Fortunately, there are timestamps, thanks to Kira Cat Lady from the community. But yeah, played over Dark. Had an interesting time of it. Obviously, horror. I was expecting it to be Madison today, and then when Madison got delayed, no horror for my first one. Oh no, I was wrong. It was Over Dark. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I'm looking forward to catching up with all the games I haven't played. It's going to go really far back, all the way to like games like Stilt and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, but we'll get there.
Stilt's a lot of fun, man. I'm a little bit jealous that you have an excuse to go back and play it more.
Yeah. Although I definitely need to find out about playing the multiplayer as well, because that'd be cool as well. But it's good to be back. Sort of big pillars in my life are coming back together. And as I said, the community has been so amazing, and hanging out with you guys, it's just what I needed. It was good for the soul. And yeah, just feel very, very grateful about everything. So thank you, everyone.
Test rate review with the Australian $2.99. Times two. I think he tipped us twice with the exact same thing. Said Jim Ryan's last day. Wash hands. Is today really his last day? I know some people care about this more than others.
It's not only his last day, but it means now, I haven't actually checked this yet, but I'm just having a look here on the campaigns. There is a nod to Jim Ryan. You got to play like a PlayStation game, and then you unlock his bobblehead.
Oh my god, that's hilarious!
Thanks to 30 years of hard work and great games, Jim. There you go.
Amazing, amazing.
That's his legacy.
A bobblehead.
The bobblehead. So yeah, you got 29 days. I think 29 days to get that done. It's 16 days now. So there we go.
The requirement should be you have to play a PlayStation 5 game, but you can't talk about it. You can't advertise it to your friends. You're not allowed to speak, right? Because you got to do it the PlayStation way. The PlayStation way is to release a lot of good shit and then just fucking not talk about it and make it seem like it never happened at all.
And yeah, you got to go. Yeah, it should be you got to go 16 days now without playing any of these games. Exactly. So the games that you got to play, either one of these, you just got to basically start it up. Gran Turismo 7. Marvel's Spider-Man 2, God of War Ragnarok, The Last of Us Part 2, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, or Destiny 2. There we go.
So long, Jim Ryan. Hopefully everything works out for the best. And hopefully the replacement is somebody that everybody really enjoys and it makes an actual difference. Because, again, one of the things I've been saying for a while is that, you know, one person is not going to make a difference, no matter how high up in the ranks they are. But who the fuck knows, man? Maybe a lot of shit stopped, you know, at Jim Ryan. Maybe he did say no to a lot of different things, and maybe he was the one making some really big decisions. And maybe somebody with a different type of voice will be able to make different types of decisions. So we'll see how it all goes down, man. I'm not super optimistic.
You just want to see them have a frank chat post, you know, being in the company, but it kind of doesn't happen. I did see a really good podcast with Sean Layden a week or two ago.
Yes, Sean Layden.
Yeah, like it was a 1.5 hour conversation. Yeah, it was really interesting, but there were still certain things. I mean, he was very respectful. Like, there are certain things he can't talk about. But it was really interesting hearing his perspective on the industry. I mean, a lot of you probably have read it in articles and that there are certain extracts that are taken out from it, but just hearing what he makes of the state of play when it comes to like live service games, you know, with all these studio shutdowns, you know, the importance of consoles. It was a really interesting one. I'll dig it out and share it on the Discord.
Nice. We also got Kill Artist 1, the Dreamweaver Game Cat with the $5 says, just finished my trail run at the perfect time to catch you guys live. I don't know what a trail run is. How come it's every fucking tip, man? There's always something that confuses me. I don't know what's going on.
Just riddles, man. They love riddles.
Trail run. Trial run.
The unintentional riddles.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I also just finished a trial run of Hellsweeper just in time for Gamescast. I played just enough of that to kind of check out the updates. We'll talk about that in just a second. So maybe that's what he's talking about. Mad Vegan with the $2 tip says, this is for reading my regular comment. Thanks. Oh. I don't think that's not how this works. You don't have to do that, but thank you, because you don't have to do that, and you probably know that. Professor Lilith with the $5 tip says, last chance to vote for the Sunday multiplayer. Oh, we haven't decided yet.
Wow.
Hellsweeper, Galaxy Kart, or Arizona Sunshine 2. The link is in the Discord. Closing in 30 minutes, everybody. Join Discord, click the link in the description, and then go decide what we're going to play this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Professor Lilith organizes this each and every week. Your vote counts, man. Like, and go vote for Galaxy Kart, because then I can jump in with you guys, capture a bunch of footage for my new review.
And I keep forgetting Hellsweeper has multiplayer.
Yeah.
Yep. I need to check that out.
It's like three players, right? I think it's awesome. Three players.
Yeah. Three players.
Yeah, is it? Okay. God damn. Can't keep up. Oh, man. All right. Dude, it's been a fucking busy day, I gotta say. I was you know, worked a lot on that, editing that Gamescast yesterday. And then I've been working on the Overdark review all day. I've got, obviously we're doing Gamescast right now. The Overdark review should be out. I mean, it's essentially done. I could hit the button at any time and publish it. So I think pretty much as soon as this Gamescast is over, I will push the button and publish it. It's a good time, man. It's a good time. Not without its problems, not without its faults. Definitely. You know what, man? Let's talk about Overdark. This has been the topic of Gamescast all week long, Miles.
But before we do, Brian, just want to correct: it's two players in Hellsweeper.
Is it two?
Couldn't let that go. Yeah, two player.
Oh man, that's so crazy. I don't know. I don't know why I thought it was three. I feel like this was like a big thing for a little while. Like I remember seeing like three people in the trailer and then Vertigo or Mixed Realms not being very transparent about if it's going to be the same on all platforms. I could have sworn it was three, but
I think it's just because the game looks so terrible. The blurriness of it, just they look like two people instead of one.
Right. How many of you are there? All right, man. Let's talk a little bit about Overdark in this again for the third time this week. Because I will say before I even ask you about it, Miles, I was very happy to see the day one patch go live finally today. It was supposed to be out like 2 days ago for us reviewers, and so I couldn't put out an official review without checking in and seeing if they had fixed all the things they kind of promised they'd fix. Some small quality of life improvements, and they absolutely did. I blasted through like the first half of the game. I'd completed the game already, and I blasted through the first half again just to get the feel for all the changes that they'd made, and they really just polished everything up. And so if you heard about a lot of our complaints earlier in the week, the day one patch is pretty much taking care of most of those. So
that's awesome.
But this was your first time playing it, so you didn't even experience those issues prior.
No, and interestingly, as I started my Let's Play, I mean, by the time I was in the car, like in the beginning cutscene, I already had people in the chat saying, oh, I see they've done changes. Like, I don't know. Supposedly they're of quality of life improvements from the get-go. I don't know what they are, but I found it kind of interesting people were commenting on it that early. I mean, I'm having a good time with it. The way I would describe it is, and this might sound like a really lazy description, but for me it kind of feels like Propagation Paradise Hotel, but without the action. Like if Propagation Paradise was like Resident Evil 2, this is more of a Resident Evil 7, but in that sort of scene, just you've not got anything to really fight back with. I kept picking up weapons from the get-go, but as soon as you drop them, they disappear because you're obviously not meant to use them. Like I found an axe in the tool shed. But one of my favorite things to do was I picked up a pool cube on the table. Q. And I was using it to open the doors from a distance. So I was poking the doors open without having to go close. And I was like, I love it. I love that that's a mechanic in the game that I could just from, you know, quite a large distance go, what's behind this door? Poke, have a look, and then move on. But my general thoughts are I had a good time with it. It's continually tense, although I think that might change because without going into spoiler territory, you have this entity, this person that is there that appears from time to time. And the first time I encountered them, I thought, is this going to be like a Mr. X Resident Evil 2 thing where they're constantly chasing after you? Or is it going to be kind of set pieces? And to be honest, where I am in the game, it could be a bit of both. I just haven't sort of worked it out yet. But I find if it becomes apparent that it is set pieces, I think it will make it sort of less scary. But the fact that this person, you're never sure when they're going to appear, makes it super, super tense. I think graphically in the headset, it looks decent. It's buttery smooth. I definitely want to get some new microfiber cloths for my headset because I think any blurriness I do see is because my lenses aren't clean enough. The haptics are good, but I don't know what it is about the haptics. I think they're good, but I kind of feel like they've just been done better on other games. Like there's a bit where you're going up an elevator, and I know this isn't the haptics, it's the headset rumble. The headset rumble as you're going up this elevator, I've never thought I'd say this about headset rumble because I love it. It was just like over the top. Like they were like, just max it out. And I think that when it comes to haptics that are done well, it's all about the nuances. And I kind of feel that the haptics could be optimized more. Sound design, I think, is really, really great. You always hear stuff happening around this building. The music for the jump scares, I think that's all really, really good. And then overall, I did have a fun time. It's not the scariest game I've played, but maybe that's because I've come a long way. But it was continuously tense. And I am curious to see where it goes. You've rolled credits on it, have you?
Yes, sir.
Is it? Well, how short or long is it?
Yeah, I saw Kevin Russ in the chat asking how long the game is. And so we should definitely answer that. It's going to vary for everybody. It took me over 4 hours. And it felt like there was a lot happened in that 4 hours. I enjoyed the length of the game. I certainly could have gone for, I enjoyed playing it enough where I could have gone for another 3 or 4 hours. Like I would have been fine. But honestly, some of the things that you brought up, are minor issues. Like,
sure.
Like the monster that appears or the bad guy that appears, like it's all, you know, it's all very much scripted. And it feels very shoehorned in. And so every time one of those moments popped up, I was just like, kind of like just being patient to get through it. I didn't feel like it added much to the tension or to the game. So I just kind of, you know, just like almost tolerated it. You know what I mean? But so much, like I said, so much happens in that 4 hours. And I think everybody's going to be different because I think there will be some people who like might stretch it out to about 5 hours or so, but there's going to be plenty of people I think who are better at sort of auto mapping in their head because I walk around and I have the worst sense of direction. I drive around, I have the worst sense of direction in real life. And that happens in video games too. So when I'm walking around this mansion and, you know, and I pick up a specific key with a specific insignia on it, and I was like, there's a door with that same insignia. This is very Resident Evil, right? Resident Evil 1.
Yeah.
It's like, I can picture the door in my head, but I'm like, wait, how do I get back to that specific hallway with that door? And I'll wander around for fucking 15 minutes until I stumble back into it. You know, kind of like process of elimination. Be like, well, it's not down that hallway. It's not up that staircase. It's not over here. Oh, finally, it's over here. And so with people who like kind of map things better in their head like that, I think they're going to get through the game a lot faster. Like I could easily, I could see somebody getting through this in 3 hours. And there's not a whole lot of replayability here. I honestly think that once you've beaten the game and you know where everything is, that's kind of the deal with puzzle games, right? It's like that.
Yeah.
Once you know the answer, you know the answers. And I think you could probably get through it in an hour once you've played it before.
Right. So. Yeah. And I have to say it is puzzle heavy, but I've enjoyed the puzzle so far. Yeah. I love the atmosphere.
Yeah, I don't want to make you feel bad or anything. Not one of the scariest games I've played. Like you're like, oh, maybe I'm getting used to it. I'm like, nah, it's just
I don't think it is that. But I did find it continuously tense. But as I said, I think the mechanic of that enemy, if it's scripted, I think will definitely change it.
There's a couple of cool things that happen in a couple of cool jumps, and so it has nothing to do with that enemy. I think there are some really cool, memorable moments. I think I settled on like a 7.8 or 7.9 for the score. It was like, because it's dude, it feels pretty damn polished, and it feels pretty good for what it's doing. It's just, you know, there's just a few things in there that like make it feel, I don't know, like less than the sum of its parts somehow.
Interesting.
But I still really enjoyed it. And, you know, I think by now you guys should know that like a high 7 for me is something that I definitely recommend.
Nice.
Yeah. Miles, are you a Minecraft guy? You seem like a Minecraft guy.
Yeah, I haven't played it in a very long time, but I played the alpha, was always really into it, would love Minecraft to come to VR.
Did you see that we're getting a native PS5 version soon?
Okay.
That's something I guess that a lot of people have been asking for. I'm not a big Minecraft guy. I'm not even a little Minecraft guy. This was not something I was, I didn't even realize was on the table. Wasn't really something people wanted.
It is interesting how many PS4 games that haven't had a native PS5 versions. For example, unless someone can correct me, Rocket League, I think it doesn't have a PS5 version yet. It's still a PS4 one, which just kind of blows my mind. Like these popular sort of live service games, even though Minecraft isn't a live service, it does have like this marketplace. It is a community ecosystem. It's a reason why Microsoft continues to support it on PlayStation. Because I can sense the question coming, whether this means it will also be coming to PSVR 2. I mean, I'm still, it would require development. It's not a backwards compatibility thing, is it? It would require specific development for PSVR 2, and I'm not sure.
What would the benefit for something like Rocket League be getting a native PS5 version? Like, it's been a long time since I played Rocket League. I've seen other people play it, but like more recently, but there's not like, I mean, it's a pretty simple looking game. I doubt there's anything that the PS5 is going to do to that game that it's not already doing on PS4, unless I'm just completely mistaken.
No, you're probably right. I mean, for me, it's probably a more stable frame rate, especially a game like Rocket League, where it's an incredibly fast paced game. And it's done as an esport, you would want to be able to give people the option to really increase the frame rate. So like, even if it's beyond 60 frames to 120. So that's the only thing I can think about with that.
I don't know. This is, I mean, obviously the reason bringing it up is exactly what you said. You know, it's getting a native PS5 version, and obviously the people are excited. And people are hoping that this means that maybe we can get a PSVR 2 version out of this. PSVR 1 version was fine, but I think people really want to use their hands. I think Cube showed us that people really want to use their hands to mine. They don't want to use the DualShock 4 or the DualSense. They want full arms and full control over their mining tools and crafting and all that. So this is good, man. This is good. It's good news. And if it comes to PSVR 2, then great. I think that would be... that would be huge. I think the likelihood is pretty low.
Yeah. I would hope for that as well. And I like the game cats keeping me informed on the flat screen stuff. So supposedly Rocket League does have a 120 FPS mode still on the PS4 version. So there we go. That would be why it's not had the update. But then ray tracing, you can make other arguments and stuff. I don't know. For me as well, I'm just like, games like that, I just feel... maybe not. I just feel like people, if they're looking at games and they see Rocket League PS4 and they've got a PS5, but if they saw a PS5, they think, oh, this is a new game. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but maybe it's just not worth it. But PS5, awesome to see for Minecraft.
Well, yeah, and getting everything up and running natively on PS5 would be great, only because, hey, when the PS6 comes out, You know,
yeah.
I'm sure the PS6 will be backwards compatible with PS4 and PS5. However, let's just keep everything as up to date as possible for preservation's sake.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't know. Random news story. I didn't want it to go. I didn't want it to be ignored. So, less random, definitely pertains to our audience much more, is what's happening with Madison. This is like, dude, how many fucking times has Madison been delayed now? We just got the word this morning for a game that was supposed to be out today. Right, was it this morning? All my days are running together.
It was yesterday evening, I thought it was, but or maybe it was this morning. Yeah, it was. I woke up to it.
Okay, so you and I both are blurring days.
That's I don't know. I'm going to look on my Twitter now because I retweeted it. No, yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning. Jesus, dude. Yeah.
It was still last minute, especially because it was because they needed a five-day... Sony needs 5 days to process it when they do an update. And so they would have known a few days ago that it wasn't going to make the deadline.
Right.
But I do kind of think it is a marketing strategy, as annoying as it is. Everyone's ready to play Madison VR. That's when everyone's attention is, the day before. That's when you do the update. If you do the update a week before, people then switch off and go, Madison keeps getting delayed. Like, you want to do it when you have the most visibility, and that's when it's just about to release, which super annoying, but that's the only reason I could think that they would have left it this late, because the argument that they only just knew they'd had to delay it doesn't wash with what they've been saying. However, they've been transparent with a blog post, and from what I've read and what we're going to go through now, I think it is for the better. So it was funny because you were talking about it on Wednesday's show regarding a different game, about the 90 hertz. Yeah. What game were you talking about?
Twilight Zone, Arcane Age. Yeah,
that was it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I haven't even been over to the PlayStation blog in like days. So is this one about Madison, you're saying?
No, it was actually Perp Games did one. I will send you the link now. Here it is. I'll just send it to you on Discord.
All right.
I'll start reading it while you load it up. So they say... important release date information, Madison VR. On March 22nd, Unity released a new SDK which allowed us the possibility to hit 90 hertz mode instead of our planned 60 to 120, also known as interpolation mode. We were hopeful we could implement this change in Madison VR via a rapid patch and still hit the release date. However, it is clear now that we can't. In addition to the development, Sony quite rightly mandate an additional full 5-day submission after implementation. So maybe that is why they, although they would have known on the 22nd, you know, right. Unless they, I don't know, it kind of like, a part of me is like, they would have known on the 22nd that they couldn't have done it as a quick patch unless they discovered it just the other day, which again, I don't think any of this really matters because the point is, they've caught this, and I'm glad that they're doing it before launch. I saw a couple of people online saying, why didn't they just release it and then do this as a patch later down the line? No.
Oh, no. No. God, no. I mean, we're about to talk about Hellsweeper that had like has had multiple patches and wasn't really where we wanted to be for months.
Yeah,
like it's just why no? Because this is exactly what we don't want developers to be doing. It's exactly what we don't want publishers to be doing. And I'd much rather have a game be delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed, just like Madison, so that when it finally comes out, the day it comes out, it is good.
because we have other games to play in the meantime, and that's the other thing as well is we just keep saying like we just want the next thing, and then we want to have all the games as early as possible, so we always have continuous choice. I kind of like the fact that in an age of like abundance of gaming that you are paced out and it's like you've got to keep waiting. Obviously I'd rather there was a date and they stuck to it, but that's not where we are, especially in this emerging technology. They go on to say, we would like to give you a little more information about how the new SDK will improve your Madison VR gameplay. Our ambition is to create a realistic and daunting atmosphere with Madison VR, and we achieve this through realistic real-time lighting and shadows. These elements heavily utilize the CPU on all platforms. To make this possible in VR, we use a technique called single-pass rendering, so that resource-heavy operations are only done once per frame. Unfortunately, our use of this previously precluded us from also using the eye-tracked dynamic foveated rendering, DFR, feature on PSVR 2, as the Unity PSVR 2 implementation had a known issue with this combination. Without DFR, it would have only been possible to release using the 60-120 mode, which worked adequately. However, we always fell a little short of the quality we were striving for. As of the 22nd of March, Unity's new SDK now opens up DFR and by extension the possibility to hit the 90 hertz mode, a last minute improvement we simply can't ignore.
So this is like talking about Madison being delayed is really burying the lead. In fact, the bigger story is that Unity's new SDK, like developers have been saying since the launch PSVR 2, that they've been struggling on Unity with using eye-tracked foveated rendering. They've been struggling to get their games up to 90 hertz for this very reason. And now, as of March 22nd, it's been addressed. Yeah. And so now any developer that wants to go back and that's using Unity and fix this stuff, then it's all there. It's all possible. This is the main story of the day. This should have been the fucking headline of Gamescast Live and the headline of the blog post that Perp Games issued. Like, fuck the delay of Madison. The Unity SDK is everything is possible now.
Yeah. Done. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's really good news because I haven't always understood the technical side, but the limitations of Unity I've heard occasionally, and so hopefully this means the final issue with Unity. I mean, there's going to be others, but I think this is like the big one. They just finally sign off by saying, "We know this will be very disappointing to fans of VR and horror, and we are sorry to have to bring you this news, but we believe this is the best action. We have agonized as to whether to release the game as planned and then patch it with a 90 hertz mode fully retested when ready, but we feel the opportunity afforded by the 90 hertz mode is really important, and Madison VR should be released in its newly possible final form. And so we have made that always makes me think of a Pokemon. And so we have made the difficult decision to delay the game by a few weeks. We anticipate the additional development work to be relatively straightforward, and once we have set up our new submission and the result and release slot with PlayStation and Steam, we will let you know the new release date, which we should be able to give you early next week."
Dude, this worked out so well, right? Because for a minute there, we got Happy Funland last week, not that it turned out great or anything like that. And then we were supposed to get Overdark on Wednesday this week, and then Madison on Friday. It was just like this overkill of horror. And as somebody who fucking loves horror games, even I thought it was an overkill, right? And so, hey, Happy Funland didn't turn out great. Overdark got delayed till today, which was supposed to be the Madison VR launch day, and then Madison got delayed. This actually worked out perfectly, because now Overdark gets its turn in the spotlight, and then in just a couple weeks we'll get an improved version of Madison.
Some people in the chat are rightfully saying delays don't always mean a good game. We certainly sure. know this. What I would say though is, from those that have played the preview, the first 30 minutes of the game, and this is in its current form before mm-hmm. these updates, have said it's one of the best looking games on PSVR 2 or in VR generally. That doesn't mean it's going to withhold, and I think I'm able to say this. I'm just going to say it. But there, in the trailer, there's a famous scene where you're in a body of water and you're using the Polaroid and that. And I know Perp was saying that when it came to like polishing up, there was a few things that they were just trying to get right, and one of them was sort of the water effects, which supposedly looked amazing in the headset. So if that's kind of what the internal communications were and they were fixing, I feel, and also when it comes to water effects, again, could be completely wrong, I feel like that's one of the more complicated things to get right in VR, because, you know, the volumetrics of water and reflections is very complicated. I'm feeling incredibly confident about this game.
Listen, delays don't always guarantee a good game, but guess what?
No.
They generally guarantee a better game, right? Maybe everything doesn't get worked out or addressed before launch, but a few things got worked out and addressed before launch, which are a few less things that we have to struggle through and we have to play and we have to deal with. We have to, things that keep us from fully enjoying a game. I fucking delay everything, man. Delay everything. Anything with a release date, fucking delay it.
Is it in the chat says scientifically proven to be the most delayed horror game? I love it. Love it.
Yep. Professor Lilith sends us an update with a $2 tip. It says, forgot one, Sunday multiplayer choice. Survive is also in the mix. So make sure you survive. Hold on, one more time. Hellsweeper, Galaxy Car, Arizona Sunshine 2, or Survive. Survive's really good. I mean, Survive's really mid, but like with friends.
That's really good.
It's really good
with friends. I think it's like being in a PlayStation 1 Resident Evil game. I love it.
But you wouldn't play it by yourself, right?
I mean, I did to platinum it, but that's different.
Okay. All right, you've hit the platinum, man. I'm gonna bow to you because even though I played through the whole thing mostly with friends, I'm gonna say
I actually did a little tutorial on how to get the final trophy, how to level up really, really quickly. It's proper grindy, but yeah, I'll happily share that in the Discord again if people were trying to find that.
Oh my goodness. Andrew Bailey with the $2 says breasts and Bryles, LOL and stuff.
Breasts does not sound right.
It doesn't. These are the worst shippings I've ever seen. Yeah. please do not ship me with my co-host. I see them enough. and just to be fair, I don't think any of them are interested. Mikey D, the fuzzy game cat with a $5 tip, by the way, says, I welcome game delays. The track record of broken games must end. There is so much to play. Developers, TYTAGIT, which stands for, apparently, take your time and get it right. Titagit. So if you just hear somebody saying to tag it, Miles, it means take your time and get it right.
To tag it.
Would you call me? I saw somebody ask. Saw somebody say that they missed your three closets.
Oh yeah, just the one though.
Yeah,
just the one.
It's harder for me to fit in there.
It's nice being able to speak at a normal volume now on this show. So love it.
Yeah, with an actual microphone instead of holding something to your mouth.
Yeah, not the game show.
The Bob Barker effect.
Yeah.
Professor Lilith, well, Jesus. Okay, listen, Professor Lilith. Wow. Right? You should just, I'm just going to give Professor Lilith my phone number so she doesn't have to keep tipping. You can just text me and I'll read whatever you say. Professor Lilith with a $5 tip says, the winner of the Sunday multiplayer is Galaxy Card. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
It's rigged. Rigged. Totally rigged.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have 17 different accounts that I vote with.
I saw you doing it when I was reading the blog.
Click, 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 click. Yep. Galaxy Kart, splat your way to victory, she says. Hell yeah, man. Listen, I miss so many of these multiplayer Sunday games, but I'm going to use all of you because I am going to get in there. I'm going to play multiplayer with you guys. I'm going to be in my racing rig, the whole thing, and I'm going to play the whole time. I'm going to get a lot of footage for my review. So, If this is like one of those, if you don't tune in for Sunday multiplayer games, if you don't ever jump in and play with the cats, then do it this time, right? Do it this time. Let's fill up some lobbies. I'll try to bounce around from lobby to lobby, play a few rounds with a bunch of people, and then switch to another lobby and try to get as many people into the review as possible, right? I don't know if that's something people care about, but I think it's kind of cool to forever immortalized in a without parole review. Like, get in there and let's play. And I'm more than happy to listen to you guys talk about the game and listen to your thoughts as I'm re-reviewing this. I want to hear what score you think it deserves because, in my head, I'm like, oh, it's got few problems, but it's definitely like an 8 by now just because of the fun factor more than anything else. And they've added so much content, but I want to hear from you guys when we play. So join us on Sunday. Let's make this one of the biggest Sunday multiplayer games ever.
Wow.
Right? Samson 143 VR. Hey, Miles. I want to talk to Samson.
You want to talk to Samson?
I want to talk to Samson. With a $5 tip, says, OMG, I'm so late. Meta is better. Catching up now. Much love.
I love that conversation on Monday.
It's so fucking random.
Meta is beta.
It makes sense. PSVR2 is alpha.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Samson. Mark, with the $10 tip, M-A-R-K, don't confuse it with the band, spelled M-A-R-C, $10 says, cannot wait for Metal Hellsinger VR. The flat screen version is incredible, and VR will elevate as one of the best VR. Let me finish the fucking tip, Miles. Simmer, as they say. Simmer. I'm so bad at pretending to be mad. I just don't give a fuck. The flat screen version is incredible, and VR will elevate it as one of the best VR2 games of the year. Go ahead, Miles. I'm so sorry for interrupting you. No. That's right. That was you interrupting me.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, perfect. No. You obviously seem excited about Metal Hellsinger.
No, I it's actually, I think it still is a free download on PlayStation Plus. Ooh. The flat screen, so I downloaded it probably just after Christmas. I played the demo when it first came out, and I thought, this is all right. Played the first level again this year, and I was like, I wish this was on VR, so I'm super happy. And this came off the back of a modder, right, who modded it, and then the developers liked it.
Yeah, according and then to they were like, Wes, yeah.
Yeah, which is amazing to see. The thing I'm curious about, and this is something I've always wondered about Ragnarok. I don't want to get into it too much because I've mentioned it before, but when you play rhythm games, like when you play Hellsinger, you have to do the whole syncing where you press the button on the beat and then you're syncing up with the sound on the TV to make sure you're dealing with the latency.
Okay.
You technically shouldn't ever have to do that with PSVR 2 because the game is always going into the same headset. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's effectively using the same monitor because they're using a PSVR 2, which is why, whether it's Beat Saber, Synth Riders, any game, it's always works really, really well. And yet, Ragnarok has always been out of sync and you have to use their in-game sync option setting. Which I'm going to say, I think that's something the devs should be able to fix on their end. So I hope that is also the case with Hellsinger. It should just work from the get-go. But that's just a thought I've had about these kind of games. Because, yeah, they should just be in sync by design. Right?
I mean, they could be Backstreet by design.
I like what you did there.
Potentially even 98 Degrees by design.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Maybe O-Town. There we go, people.
You heard it right here.
I just said O-Town. I don't even know. Is that a boy band? I'm just trying to throw out random shit. O-Town's not a boy band, is it? It's like an actual band. I can't remember. Thank you for your thoughts, Mark. Mikey D, the fuzzy game cat with the $2 tip. I need glasses. This is ridiculous. It says, should have been TYTAGIR. LOL, I rushed it out.
Goodness,
well, mate. Yeah, well, you deserve to have to pay $2 to fix that. I'm sorry. Yep.
The shade.
Yeah. Trust me, if I have to fix my mistakes and re-edit and re-upload, then you will also have to re-upload your tips. Lara May VR with the 129 Sekiro, sending love to my favorite YouTube channel. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Lara May, one of our newer Patreon supporters. Also, just a shout out to all of our new Patreon supporters or any Patreon supporter. I've been saying that I want to start getting Let's Plays up there. Things didn't come together quite the way that I wanted to, but I will. It's still happening. I just apologize for the delay. The first thing you guys are going to get is my interview with BJ from Urban Wolf Games. That will be sooner rather than later, definitely before the end of the weekend. And then I'll start getting some of those Let's Plays uploaded. So thank you very much for your support, Lara May, and everybody here, and everybody on Patreon, and everybody that's ever supported us. I do not deserve you guys. You're amazing. Also, if you just want to see what a great fucking community this is, as if you couldn't already tell from this chat, dude, just take a look at those comments on the PAX East Gamescast that I uploaded yesterday. The comments were incredible. I mean, just heartwarming, you know? It really just floored me. I didn't expect it. And there was so much love in there. So happy to see it all. Thank you very much.
This community rocks.
For sure. Miles, where are we at? You want to talk about, what do we want to talk about?
Hell Sweeper.
There's too many Hell games, man.
I know. There's all these Hell Singers, Hell Sweeper.
Right? And there's way more than that, too. It's just,
Hell Simulator probably coming out soon. I don't know.
Pretty good. I like that. Yeah, man. I'm assuming you had a chance to jump in and check out the dynamic foveated rendering update that we got for Hell Sweeper today, correct?
Oh, my goodness. What a difference. What a difference, Brian.
Yeah. What a difference indeed. It's amazing.
It is amazing. It looks so crisp. It's so good. My issue was, it's been so long since I've played it, I didn't know what the controls were.
Dude.
It took me like, I'm exaggerating, it felt like half an hour to find out where the tutorial was. And then I went to the original, the prologue, and then the tutorial. And in both of those zones, the tutorial wouldn't start. There was like this red barrier that wouldn't let me get to the next bit. So I don't know if it's just like a glitch and it's not triggering the beginning of the tutorial, so I might just have to start a new game or something like that. But I went into the main game and gave it a go. I'm absolutely trash at this game, but I'm looking forward to getting into it. And I love the flow of this game. I love the weapons. I love how it all works, and there's so much mastery to it. There's so much to get your head around that you will literally feel like Neo from the Matrix as you learn it more and more. So I'm super excited to play this now. And the multiplayer, I've not dived into before. Is it just the main game, but two player?
I have also not dove into it. I'm in the exact same boat you're in though, Miles. The game says I've done 4 runs prior to today. So like, I didn't try very hard, obviously. I was like, well, this game's in a shitty fucking place. I don't really want to spend time playing it, trying to review it for something that's just going to be patched later. We already told everybody it sucked, you know, visually at least at launch, and that was enough. I had put it down since then. Jumped in today. I had the exact same experience that you did. I couldn't find the tutorial. I was in the menus trying to remember how to, you know, activate my weapons, bring those up. I definitely needed to go through the tutorial and I couldn't find it. So I just said, fuck it. I'm just going to, you know, kind of fumble my way through this. And I will tell you, I don't know what happened, but the 4 runs I had done prior, I got to the boss each time. And then the boss was like this major bullet sponge. And I couldn't figure out like what am I doing wrong? It seems like I'm supposed to, chop off the arms, and whatever. And I don't know if it's just the way that I leveled up this time, through the run, but I killed the first boss, no problem. Like within a minute or so, was not an issue whatsoever. And then I said, okay, well, that's good. That's the best I've ever done in this game. And I'm still not, I still haven't quite reacclimated to the controls. So I think I'm doing okay. And so I paused the game there and that's where I stopped. But yeah, dude. Okay. For a game that looked like a blurry mess at launch.
Like looking through treacle. That was the term. That was the term, Brian.
Yep. It looked bad, man. It just like severely pixelated. It looks so good right now. And like in using smooth turning, there's no stuttering whatsoever. Everything is moving fast. It's looking good. High res. From what I've heard, it's looking as good, if not better, than the PC VR version. This is how the game should have been at launch. Meaning they should have delayed it for 3 months.
Yep. Super, super impressed with it. I remember when first playing it, I couldn't believe on my Let's Play how much fun I was having, considering how appalling it looked. It was honestly one of the worst looking games on PSVR2. I couldn't believe it. And I just had in the back of my mind, I can't wait for the day that they fix it and it looks good. Because the reality is there's never that guarantee. There's no guarantee that they're even going to attempt to fix it. They might say they will, but they might do a little patch here and there. But they said, no, we're going to work on it. And they have. And they've delivered. arguably better than expected, just because not everyone that makes great games take advantage of foveated rendering, or dynamic foveated rendering. I mean, going back to Overdark, if I can, how did you feel about the fidelity in the game? Because I feel like it generally looks good, but it doesn't look ultra sharp.
In Hellsweeper.
In Overdark.
In Overdark.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know how I missed the transition there.
It's all right. Yeah. The reason I ask it is because obviously that's a game that doesn't use dynamic foveated rendering. And I think when we look at Legendary Tales, when we look at this, the difference, and you always see that diagram of like the times one and then times 1.8.
Yep.
It really makes a difference. And I was just saying, Overdark is a nice looking game. Great environments. It's buttery smooth. But it's just, this is like Hellsweeper and Legendary Tales. That is sharp. That is like sharpness.
Yeah.
Overdark isn't quite there.
It's funny because I think they both offer something special in different ways. As far as sharpness, yeah, I do think that there's like a level of sharpness that Hellsweeper now has that obviously the Red Matter games have had. That,
yes.
You said, yeah, Legendary Tales has. That Overdark doesn't have, but unlike a lot of games, there's plenty of games like no matter how long I played Little Cities Bigger. Like, this is a game that like should be running at the absolute highest resolution possible, right? It should be the focal point should be super sampled to the nth degree, and it should just be as crisp as possible. But it's just like, it's just fine looking.
Yeah.
Right. Overdark doesn't have that ridiculous over the top crispness that some of these other games have, but the detail in the environments totally make up for it, to the point where I at no point, unlike Little Cities, I played Little Cities and I never stopped thinking, why isn't this just a little bit sharper? Overdark, 2 seconds after I start that game, I'm like, this game just looks great. I'm so happy with the way this game looks.
Yeah, I'm with you. Because actually saying that, the thing is, when you do play Hellsweeper, you do notice, because of how sharp it is, you do then start spotting the areas of design that aren't quite there, where they're so sharp, it kind of doesn't even look real or like a proper environment. And by the way, when I mention that, that is not a massive thing. It's very small areas, but naturally, the sharper things look, the more pronounced different parts in your environment and enemies look. But I'm really excited to play more of this. So awesome. Well done, guys.
I'm excited to play more of this too, because there's you know, Sirento, the more I played Sirento, the more of a flow I got into, where you'd start, creating these combos where everything just flowed together, right? Between, you'd slide across the floor and jump and then double jump and wall run and, you know, slash and shoot and do the whole thing. And you basically created this gigantic combo. In Hellsweeper, so far, I've at least found myself constantly just running into a room, standing still and shooting guns, and then being like, oh, shoot, how do I switch to my sword? And then double jumping and then slashing with my sword, and then landing on the ground and going, wait, I gotta switch back to my gun. I haven't found the flow yet, and I can't wait to do that, because right now it feels very stilted from room to room. Yes. And especially when I kill a wave of enemies, and then I just go around and like kind of destroying all those little totems to get my rewards. It just feels like two different games that have been stitched together. I'm like, right? I feel like I should be destroying these things in the heat of action. Instead, it's just like, okay, you've killed all the enemies. Now take just as much time to go destroy these things and collect your shit.
I feel the same about that for sure.
and I feel like the more I play, then the less I'll feel that way. But obviously very, very much just at the beginning of this. I'm embarrassed by this gameplay that I'm showing right now. Sirens on my end. It is just me not understanding how to play Hellsweeper properly.
I struggle to do dual wielding pistols. If I use dual wielding, then I miss with both of them. Like, I can aim with one, but as soon as I start shooting with two, they're both going to miss the enemy. That is something I look forward to getting better at.
For sure. I want to be really good at shooting with one and slicing with the other. You know, having a sword in one hand, guns in the other hand. And but then I'm like, oh, you know, you can reload manually, but you can also reload. Can you like shake the weapon or something to reload it? Because I think there's supposed to be an advantage to manual reload. And so like, you know, you do a motion to spawn ammo in your hand and then put it together. But I think you can do it without doing that. You just don't get all the advantages. I don't know. There's a lot going on here that I just don't understand yet.
Yep. Need a tutorial to work.
Yeah, for sure. Let's check in with the chat. We've got Fox Die Infected with the level 3 membership. Don't forget, guys, if you're a member over here on YouTube, you can get we're going to call them free super chats, but you know what it means. You paid for this shit in advance. He writes 100 plus great updates on Hellsweeper, and I'm still waiting for the hybrid touch grip. That's true, man. You know, you spawn these weapons, and then you have to hold down. You have to hold your hands down to make sure you don't drop them. Then have to spawn another one.
Yeah.
Also, were you I was having issues. I was accidentally spawning things I didn't mean to spawn. So like the I don't know if it's not the tracking. It's just the motion detection within the game. Again, this is something that I probably shouldn't even complain about until I really understand all the controls. I just felt like sometimes it was just I'd be spawning fireballs and going, wait, I don't even know how to spawn fireballs. Yeah. Why? Like, where's my revolver?
Yeah, I did it a couple of times, but I think, like you say, I think it's because I haven't learned what I'm doing yet.
Right. We're going to stop complaining about shit we don't understand. Okay, I'm done. Looper the Underground Game Cat with the 5 euros says, totally off topic, which is my favorite topic, says, mm-hmm. I'm playing Princess Peach Showtime while watching you, and it's freaking incredible. I've heard it's really good. I might have to check that out.
Oh, is it a game? Is it a game? Okay.
I believe it's the new Peach game on Switch.
It's meant to be good. It's meant to be good.
Yeah. Yep. I saw somebody making fun of people, grown men who were playing the game that's clearly meant for little girls, and it's like, go fuck yourself. Like, it's a Nintendo game. Nintendo games are always meant for everyone. We got the Game Cat, Andrew Ehrenreich, who we almost met last week, Miles. He was at PAX for one day, and then at 5 p.m. he was gone. Wait, you met him?
Briefly.
You're the only person I know that met Andrew Ehrenreich. You met him in line, and then never saw him again.
I'm sorry, we didn't get to see each other again. It was literally, we were queuing up in the, if I'm right, Andrew, it was in the Will Cool line, and we were literally opposite sides going the other way. Shook hands, said hello, and it was like, yeah, we'll see you in a bit. And then that was it. But
at least you get to meet him, because I didn't get to meet him. I wasn't even Andrew Ehrenreich writes, I'm an hour behind, hope y'all are well and such. Oh yeah. He follows it up with another $5 tip, says, also Miles, oh, look at this. Also, Miles, it was great to meet you for 5 seconds in the badge pickup line. Wish I was able to stick around PAX longer and hang out with everyone. We wish that too, Andrew, next year.
Thursday was a good day, though. It was definitely the quietest. I mean, you got there and thought, this is not quiet. But then when you go to the other days, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Although Sunday was actually... A lot of people would already sort of head off at that point. So,
I think a lot of people use Thursday and Sunday as a travel day. And I sort of did too. But man, I will tell you that, there were things I wanted to do while I was there on Saturday. Cause Saturday was the only day that I was sort of exploring the floor by myself and stopping at different booths and playing different games that I wanted to play on my own. And I was out of time. Like I wanted to sit down and play the Transylvania Adventure. I wanted to go over to see Shadows of the Damned remastered. There was a bunch of stuff I wanted to do, and the moment I had a second to do it, they were like, "Okay, everybody off the show floor." And I was like, "They were closing down for the night." And then I was like, "All right, well, I guess I'll head off to my next panel then." So lesson learned: don't save everything you want to do till the last minute at PAX, because then you'll do nothing. You'll get nothing done, and you see nothing and play nothing.
Yeah, you also have to be really disciplined when it comes to like panels and stuff like that. Like on the first day, I had like 8 listed, not 8 that I was going to go to, but just like, here's some flexibility. Yeah. And I'd rather have a list of 8. And then I got some, you know, some options as the day goes on. That was not the right way to do it, because that day I went to half of one of them. you really do need to block out time and go, these are the three panels I want to go to. I need to be at these places for these times, and then I can do, and then work out the rest of stuff. But it was just so easy with Game Cats about just bouncing from one group to the next, and time just flew that way, which, to be honest, I was happy to do it. I didn't want to spend the full 3 days just in lots of panel rooms. I think doing half to one panel every day was a good amount. It's amazing, even if, like me, you had the full 4 days to explore PAX East. I mean, it was on the Sunday, was it? No, it was on the Saturday evening. I discovered this whole other floor where they had like the mech pilot school and the retro hall and the speed running, all the stuff that was advertised. I just hadn't been there yet. I was like, this is amazing.
Wait, okay. So you guys were talking about this mech game that you want everybody to get together and play. Did it end up being Steel Battalion on the Xbox Steel game? Battalion. Like the OG Xbox game, Steel Battalion.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. You guys were all talking about this mech game, and here it is. It's this game that I've wished that I've owned on OG Xbox for all these years, because it has like a $200 controller that came with it. It was crazy.
And there's like an eject button where you have to flick the plastic cover off to press the eject button. And they were telling us that in the game, if you're about to explode and you eject, you then respawn on the battlefield in a new mech. But if you don't eject, your player gets wiped. So like all your progress you've ever made just goes. So when you're in battle, you have to make sure you eject. But yeah, it was still Battalions. I wasn't familiar with it, but was blown away. The guy that was running the room was really helpful.
Nice.
And it was a lot of fun. I just like little quirky things they had set up like that. Just, you know. It's interesting that is a retro game now.
I know, right? Doesn't seem that long ago. I think that's my cutoff. That's still my cutoff. People consider PS3 360 retro. You're out of your goddamn minds. I might cut it. I think the cutoff will always be the same for the rest of my life. You know, because I think it depends how old you are, and depends, you know, what you consider your childhood, and then that determines what you call retro, right?
True.
You could put a stamp on it that says, "Oh, retro means over 20 years ago," and I'll never agree with that, just because that doesn't jive with like what I consider retro,
right?
So I think the OG Xbox, PS2, and GameCube is the last generation that I call retro. After that, it's all way too current gen. Yeah. Fifth with the Australian $2 tip says, did you cope okay with USA food, Miles?
Yeah, I just indulge. The amount of pizza, oh my goodness, there was a lot of pizza, and I was all for it. It was fine. It's probably not the healthiest way to sort of do this, but like when I go to the States, I sign off as like, yeah, I'm going to be doing some serious damage to my body for this period, because I just want to indulge in all the good treats and stuff like that. I mean, the final meal I had on the Monday was Gordon Ramsay's burger restaurant.
Oh, no way. And how was that?
Oh, it was phenomenal. Like, I don't know. It's funny. I always say I'm not a burger person every time I'm having a burger, but it was incredible. I mean, it's the kind of stuff you're going to take photos of. Like, the burgers are just like pure. It's all about structural integrity. Like, it has a roasted tomato in there, tomato. And the problem with tomatoes in burgers is it normally makes the bun soggy, and then it just, like, collapses. This was a good one. It had roasted jalapeno in it and avocado. And then their fries, their sweet potato fries, it had vanilla sugar frosting on it. That is not cocaine, although some might say it was arguably as good. I think it was Dan, had Cerebral Frost, had onion rings, and that was one of them. Look at that, it's a fucking onion ring. That unbelievable. Is incredible. And the milkshakes they did, like, had the Oreo shake, it looked like this, and Tiff had a Lucky Charms milkshake, which looked amazing. It was a good final meal, and that was enough sugar to keep me going for a solid 24 hours.
I wish I'd been there with you guys, because I wasn't thrilled with the food over the course of the weekend. I didn't love any of the pizza that we got. The first on Friday night, we got pizza delivered, and we got it from the only place that was still left open, right? Because like every other place was closing in 2 minutes, and I was like, well, they're gonna spit in our food if we try to order from them,
right?
So I was like,
that it was easy comfort pizza. It wasn't particularly good. But
it was fine because it was fine because I hadn't eaten all day, and when it showed up, it was hot, and like, and I was like, "Oh, this is perfect. It's something," but it wasn't great pizza.
But the one that you had on the final was the Regina Pizzeria, which was it was good. But I don't know. We ate there on the first night, and it was amazing. But when you eat somewhere versus takeaway, that's always going to be a bit different. But
yeah, no, definitely. Next time around, definitely going to explore a little bit. And Burger sounds like it would have been a great place to go. I definitely would have been there if I was still in town.
Ian Marsh in the chat, when I showed the onion ring photo, just says, "That's just an onion." Can you imagine? I mean, they can get away with all sorts when it's a Gordon Ramsay restaurant.
Yeah. How much was the burger? I bet a Gordon Ramsay restaurant, I can't imagine, was... budget meal.
It wasn't budget, but I actually think it wasn't that expensive either compared to like the UK. It was reasonable. I can't really remember.
The Cuban place. And Alice Ryan's talking about the Cuban place in our that was in the building that was in the hotel that we were staying at. I went to it the first night, and then everyone else went to it again this next night. I was like, that's probably not necessary. Still, it's good. It's Cuban tapas. Miles, it's time for a little 20 questions. And we didn't talk about this ahead of time, considering that AJ picked on Monday and Wes picked on Wednesday.
Oh, really?
I hope you don't mind if I pick today.
Oh, I was happy to pick just to keep with the keep you guessing mood, but no, you pick, man.
Yeah, you're okay with that?
Yeah.
All right. I'm fine. Guys, let's do some 20 questions. We didn't even pick out a clip of the week, so we'll have to...
I sent one that was actually from the gathering that was made by Rhodey. Let me send you it again.
Yeah, please do. And
let me get the link again. And I'll send you again.
Definitely not prepared to do a show today. They've got so much other stuff going on. But okay. I'm gonna have a
quick look of it as well, because I don't know if the music's going to be a copyright issue. I don't think it will be, but who knows?
I can't really, unfortunately, while we're live. So we'll just have to.
It's the Benny Hill theme tune. It's the Benny.
Is Benny Hill music copyrighted? Let's find out.
I love that. Royalty. Oh, it's a style alternative. I don't know.
Yeah, there's all sorts of alternative ones out there, and I can only imagine there's alternative ones out there because the original one is not.
Can you just play it muted? And then we'll hum it.
Yep.
And we'll hum the tune off.
That works. Because you guys know I don't care about copyright claims. Actually, I guess I do care about copyright claims because then I have no control over the ad placement in the video, and then they try to put an ad every 2 seconds in a Gamescast Live, which is annoying as hell, unless you have premium.
Exactly.
So I do care about copyright claims for that reason.
Yeah, man.
Otherwise, I don't care about, you know, $3 that I'd make on ad revenue. All right, man. In that case, let's do this thing. Thanks to everyone for being here. You know, on occasion we will have these kind of unorganized, poorly researched episodes.
It was good, man. It was good. We've kept it short.
Hey,
a few stories. We've nailed it.
I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. I enjoy these just as much as, you know, the well researched and well planned ones.
This was well researched and well planned.
I mean, this was the best show we've ever done.
Well, I wouldn't take the piss, Brian. Jesus Christ.
Jesus, I can't make you happy.
I'm unbelievable. Let's just fucking do this, man.
Jesus. Simmer, Miles, simmer. all right, you guys. You guys only have 6 minutes and 20 yes or no questions, so help Miles out. Also, Forest Farm didn't come out today. Forest Farm was going to be a topic, but it didn't come out today in the States. I guess it came out in the UK. I'll figure that out. probably have to buy it from the UK store. All right. I'm thinking of a PSVR 1 or PSVR 2 game. You guys have to figure it out. Suggest good questions, smiles, and suggest good games based on the answers that I give. 6 minutes, on your mark. Get Dez. Go.
Is it a horror game?
No.
No. Is it on PSVR 2?
Yes.
Is it on PSVR?
No.
Have they gone for a realistic aesthetic?
I'm going to go with no.
Not realism. Okay. Do you shoot weapons in this? As in, you're shooting the weapon, not you're shooting... I mean, it could be both.
No. That's fine.
Not shooting. Okay. Are you controlling vehicles in this game?
No. To say yes would be an absolute stretch. No, definitely not.
Okay. Okay, interesting. So we got a lot of news. Is it retro inspired?
Is it based on a
retro game? For example, Vectrex would have been like, you know, okay. Tetris inspired or Masternoid or.
The answer is yes, but I don't want that to throw you off the track. Like I,
all right,
know, yeah,
okay, that's fine.
But yes.
Okay. Is it first person?
Yeah.
Okay. Some of these questions, unbelievable. Is it a good game?
I think so, yeah.
Good game, that's cool. It's a puzzle game. Is it a puzzle game?
I would say there's some small puzzle elements to it, yeah. 10.
Okay.
10 answers, 10 questions.
Did it come out this year?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
This is Miles' blind spot. He hasn't played any games this year.
Yeah,
He's been...
You've been hanging on.
Dislocated.
Is it a blocky game? Not realism, but let's just go anywhere I've asked it. Is it a blocky game? Is there lots of blocks in this game?
No. Okay. Again, if I said yes, it would throw you off. No, it's not blocky.
Yeah, exactly. It's not cube. It's not cube game.
It's not cube.
Is it sci-fi?
No, no.
Not sci-fi.
No. But if you look hard enough. Sorry.
Yeah. Is there full locomotion?
Yeah.
Is it a colorful game? Lots of color.
I'd say, yeah, there's a lot of color. That's 15.
And is there multiplayer?
No.
Ah.
Oh. You thought you had it.
Yeah, I thought it was still. Is it a city builder?
It is. Yeah. I would say, I mean, not a city. It's like little city builder.
Yeah, it's
little cities, yeah, like big town city, builder.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, not right.
Yeah.
is it little cities, Brian?
It is, in fact, little cities bigger by Purple Yonder, published by End Dreams, came out March of this year. Wait, was it March of this year? That can't be right. Was it really?
Yeah, it was. It was very. Yeah, it would have been right at the start of March.
Holy shit! That's pretty good. March 12th. That's insane. That was only 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I've. I've not touched it on PSVR 2 yet. I did play it when I visited Endreams, played it on the Quest 2, and I loved it. Super cute, and the fact that we get the definitive edition on PSVR 2, I'm really looking forward to jumping into that. So, and I know that you had a good time with it for what it is.
I mean, yeah, I had a great time with it. Once I kind of came to the terms with the fact that it's like, this isn't set meant to challenge you. Right? Yes. This is a cozy game.
It's a cozy game. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you try to, if you try to start putting other things, you know, if you try to start assigning attributes to a cozy game that doesn't want those things, right? If you're like, where's all the challenge? Well, then you've missed the point of the game. This really is supposed to be a pretty fucking chill game that, like, you just watch your city build, and, you know, like, you kind of listen to your residents and you make adjustments and kind of give them what they're looking for. Challenge is not present in this game, I would say. But man, once I kind of got past that, because I think I was expecting SimCity. I was expecting a challenge. I was expecting to constantly have to maintain things and, you know, create, you know, turn roads into highways and, you know, deal with traffic and, you know, maybe even adjust taxes or something, you know, like some, once I got past the fact that that's not what this game is, I was like, yeah, this is good. This is really good.
Does it have a platinum trophy?
Yes. I'm 99% sure it has a platinum trophy.
Nice. Endreams are so good at that.
Oh man. Hold on a second. Cool. We're all cut up, man. We're all cut up. Oh, and Looper says this is the first time it was picked, of course. So Looper, the keeper of 20 questions.
Nice one, Looper. Yeah, and thanks GameCats for helping me with that. I got a question for the chat before we wrap things up. Ooh. I often get asked if I'm gonna like return to Let's Plays of like Resident Evil Village and stuff like that, and I definitely do want to, but I kind of like having on my channel like just the Let's Plays of like each game as introductions. So what I'm thinking of doing is, once I'm caught up again, I was caught up for Christmas and it's like, all that good work's undone. But once I'm caught up again, I'm thinking of maybe doing like longer Let's Plays, like when I want to just play a game for a few hours, just whenever, but doing it on Twitch instead. And I'm just curious to know, do you use Twitch, Brian?
Nope. I have a Twitch account. I do not use it. No, AJ's been the one, I think, of all of us that have used it the most.
Right.
Yeah. And why?
I met quite a few Twitch streamers that were really hammering it and saying like, "Yeah, you got to do it." Like the thing they always say though is, you don't go on Twitch to like build your YouTube audience or move your YouTube audience across. It's to engage with more people.
Yeah.
And I kind of like, it's not gonna be saying I fully commit to, but it's kind of like there are times where I do enjoy the Let's Play dynamic of live streaming with people watching. But I always feel a bit curtailed of like, I can't do it on my YouTube channel because I do Let's Plays as introductions. I don't want to keep doing like a 7-parter of Resident Evil 7 and stuff like that. Yeah, because that's the real reason I'm not playing it anymore. But yeah, I definitely want to get back to a lot of these bigger games. And so I'm thinking maybe that's a future project. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen. I mean, not that you couldn't do this on your YouTube channel, but if you know, were looking to expand your user base, and I know that there's a lot of people out there that have like Amazon Prime, that aren't taking advantage of their, you know, Twitch subscriptions that would be happy to be like, hey, you have, here's my complimentary $5 a month. You know,
that's true.
Yeah. You know, I think there's some good reasons for doing it on Twitch. But I would definitely be interested in seeing you do some. Yeah, because your goal for so long has been, I want to play everything.
Yeah.
And so to have a separate sub-goal of being like, there's games that I just want to fucking play more of, you know.
That's it.
That's great. I think a lot of cats would be interested in watching that.
And I also think it lends to the fact that there are, my channel is people that just want the introductions. Like, I don't want to see too much of it. And then there are people that are like, I know I want to see more of this particular game. And then it just means those that want to dive a bit deeper can. And also it just takes the pressure off me. It's like, there's no real schedule. It's just like, oh no, I fancy playing this right now. Yeah. Sometimes I just want to play it for myself. And other times I want to play and hang out with the cats and stuff. And so I think it'd be good for that. But yeah, it's interesting to see what people are saying. Twitch does have some really cool mechanics on it. Cause you know, they have like the gamification, you have bits, you have like in currency, where the longer you watch a stream, you get currency that you can use to highlight your messages and all this stuff that is completely confusing to me. But yeah, It's definitely something I'm going to probably look into.
Scott, the PSVR game cap for life in the chat says, you should start a retro channel, Miles.
A retro channel. I'll leave that to Brian. Brian's doing all the retro stuff, and he'll do it way better than me.
I don't know about that, I love retro stuff. I love having a retro channel. I wish I used the retro channel more. If you guys don't know, I do have Without Parole Retro. Click the link in the description. Go subscribe to that so that the two times a year I actually do something over there, you'll be alerted. Love retro stuff.
There was someone that I saw at PAX East called Ash Said Hi, and she was talking about retro games. And then she was a part of a panel where they were talking about how to stream retro games on Switch. And they didn't go too much into the tech, but it is kind of interesting of like, yeah, how do you plug in your old consoles into your computer to stream it? Because obviously it's old software. Yeah. And I'm sure there are easy answers. It's that whole thing with a lot of these tech things. Is once you've got the solution, it's like, it makes sense. But I have my Sega Master System that was my first ever games console, and it's not turning on. And I'm pretty sure there is power. The power supply works, but I think it's maybe not the signal. It's really hard to tell. So I just need to find a local like repair shop that does retro stuff near me, because I'd definitely like to fire back up Alex Kidd just to see it. But
which
the old Master System controllers do, they were literally like rectangles. Like it was like the age when ergonomics wasn't a thing. How does this feel in your hands? It feels like shit. They'll do. You know, when you think about how much goes into the ergonomics now of game controllers, it's really amazing to look back on.
Yeah, agreed. I will tell you, man, like ever since getting my Poly Mega and not having to worry about how to hook up, you know, all these old consoles to modern day TVs and even to stream, the Poly Mega has been amazing. I love it. It's way too expensive for what it is, but you know what? Every so often you get a splurge. And 2.5 years ago, I splurged on myself and it finally showed up 2 months ago. So that's worth it to me. Not sure Brando with the $10 tip. Sorry, nope. Hold on a second. Let's backtrack. Fifth with the Australian $2 tip says BJ is a legend for going to PAX to chat.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In case you guys missed the story earlier in the week, he was at GDC on the West Coast, and then when he found out we were at PAX, he flew over for Saturday night to hang out with us. He hung out with us all night, and then in the morning he gets up, fucking hightails it back to GDC. Literally flew across country to hang out with us for a few hours. It's amazing.
Yeah, he literally flew the opposite direction to home. Right. He flew east and then went further west. BJ has always come across as such a sincere, passionate soul who really believes in the platform, really believes in the game Legendary tells, and has always put the vulnerabilities out there of the troubles that come with developing a game. And especially in a new medium like this, we never doubted that about him. It's always been obvious because of the way that he comes across when he dives into our game, when Brian and I were in the early access before launch. And then, oh, who's this that we hear in Shield and Sword and that? And he was like, oh, hey, I work on the game. And then he was showing us stuff and really enthusiastic. But then the way he speaks on Reddit to the community, obviously the way that he's in Discord, he's looking at feedback. He responds straight away and goes, well, this is good, but the reason we didn't do this was for this reason. And then if enough people were saying, no, we still want this feature, they go ahead and work it. So with all of that said, having met him, we never doubted any of these things, but it really distilled even further on top of the fact that he flew to do that. He is a top bloke, if I can use such a quintessentially British thing to say, but really, really good guy that is just, there are a handful of developers that we know in the VR space that are, I mean, a lot of developers are fantastic people, but there are some that I feel are just like, they go beyond just being a developer. They are real champions for the medium. And BJ is definitely one of those people. I think of Dan and Tiff with what they're doing with Skydance Interactive, and the way that they were on the showroom floor at PAX East, championing the power of VR, and I think of like Anna Ribeiro and what she's done with Pixel Ripped, and these are people that are really trying to push forward the medium and are real visionaries in what is possible. And that's what you need, because not everyone is convinced with VR right now, and it's not because they're sort of wanting to turn a blind eye or anything. It's just that there's a lot of amazing gaming experiences on flat screen games, and as we know, there is a big barrier to entry in terms of cost, in terms of space, in terms of physicality when it comes to VR. And so, yeah, BJ is, I just feel very lucky that we have him in this community, and it was a real treat having him there.
Yep, absolutely. And again, I should have that interview with him up this weekend on patreon.com/withoutparolegames. Not sure, Brando with the $10 tip says, it's great to see that the trend of unfinished games seems to be fizzing out. I don't think... it's certainly not a bad thing. And as we're reading with this, you know, recent Unity update, sounds like...
Okay, sorry. When they said unfinished games, I was getting confused. I thought it was on the conversation about like playing games and completing them.
Oh,
but I was like, because there's this idea of like we're always having to complete games. Sometimes it's fine just to let it go. And so when he went, I'm great to see that the trend of unfinished games seems to be fizzing out. It's like, oh wait, so you want us to keep finishing games?
Right.
But my head was in a completely different place. But yes. I agree with you completely.
The trend of releasing unfinished games.
I
can only assume that's what he's talking about.
No, and but... it is from reading that, and yeah. Totally with you. And again, I think that when PSVR 2 launched, devs were sort of going into this new world. They just had to put games out there, and it's been just over a year. And the community has been very vocal and has given a lot of feedback. And I think some new devs that are moving into the space that haven't been a part of that conversation, they're going to get burnt when they release unfinished games still. Right. But I think people that have this more long-term investment, when we look at Perp Games and people like that, that are really trying to be a part of the community and you know, for developers that are intending on making more games, they realize the importance of having the goodwill of this community, because at the end of the day, if they release an unfinished game, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you in the long run.
Yep.
We definitely seem to be at a turning point.
Thank you guys so much for thank you guys so much for hanging out with us this Friday. Make sure you stay tuned immediately after this show. I'll be getting the Overdark review out within just a few minutes of the show ending. It is already uploaded. Just want to make sure the thumbnail and all the information is in place the way it's supposed to be in place. And then of course, you know, Legendary Tales interview will be going up this weekend. And then tomorrow I'll be getting to work on PSVR this week, getting back into the routine of things. It's crazy. But thank you all for being here. Thank you everybody who supports the channel in every which way, including our moderators, including Rypop, including God damn it, dude. I tried to say Sci-Fi Game Get Henry again and did not turn out the way it was supposed to. It is Rhodey, the Game Cat Army General, says the timestamps, and he just messaged me saying timestamps will be a little late. He's moving, so apologies in advance. But if you're hearing this, well then, fucking, you didn't need timestamps, did you? So there's that. Thanks everybody supports the channel financially over on patreon.com/withoutparolegames, by being a member over here, by tipping during the show. Fuck money, man. We love everybody who hangs out, shoots the shit with us, keeps us entertained in the chat while we try to keep you entertained. But we also know there's a whole group of people out there that sits back, watches the show, doesn't say a goddamn word, and we love you just as much. Happy Friday, Miles.
Happy Friday, Brian. Happy Friday, Game Cats. Have a wonderful weekend. I might see you on the racing tracks on Sunday. Vroom, vroom.
All right, let's see if I can't get this clip of the week up and running properly.
Without music.
Without music. I completely forgot already.
Rhodey made this. He made quite a couple of great clips. And actually, I would just say to all the Game Cats, if you do want to see some of the stuff that was captured at PAX East, there is the 2024 Game Cat Meetup on our Discord under the Stay Up to Date section. And if you click on that, there is a sort of a piece that's branched under, which is Meetup Media. And that's where people have been dumping their photos and videos from it. So, yeah, check out lots of good stuff there.
All right. Here we go. Ready for the fake Benny Hill music? Let's do it.
Oh, starting? If you tell me it's not started yet.
No, keep going.
I can't remember what it is.
You switched over to a carnival. anyone who tuned out early missed the best part of the show.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. I definitely should have checked that out before the show.
It's so good.
So good.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
What are we like?
Good night, everybody. What are we like? Good night, everybody. Good night, Miles.
Good night.
Good night.